motivated you? What is your interest in politics, the corrupt politics in Turkmenistan? There's a lot of research, and it seems that you probably get engaged in the subject for a long time. So can you help a little bit about that?
I can start and Kevin can continue. I made many years ago a film in Tibet, and I was traveling a lot in China at that time. And that was the time when China opened the doors for the international companies. And there was a big debate in that time, you know, is that helping China to progress this democratization there, or is that helping them to do something else? And unfortunately, what has happened that China's problem with human rights things are still in the same level, and all the problematic things, you know, with Tibet and Taiwan and etc. And what I realized that in that time, and what I'm afraid that these Western companies are really making these strange, you know, dictatorships stronger with their help, and then they're becoming stronger like China. They are taking bigger role in the world, in the United Nations, for instance. And I've been looking for the right story to tell about these kind of things that happen around, not only in China, but very similar countries. And when we found this story about the Runama book, there was a Finnish journalist, we saw him in the film, Kaius Niemi, who made very, very good articles about this Central Asian situation as well, the Turkmenistan, the Runama, and that brought me to the subject, and then I asked Kevin to be part of that, because I needed this kind of amazing person for this project.
Kevin, do you want to add to that?
Just briefly, I had spent a lot of time working in Russia. And in Russia, I had seen sort of similar issues. I think that Arto has seen in China a kind of rise of autocratic capitalism, of a kind of combination of international companies working with kind of anti-democratic and anti-human rights elements in the government. And certainly, I'm from the United States, obviously, and I would say that, for instance, the Bush administration, working with companies like Halliburton, has been doing something kind of similar. So that was more or less my background interest in the subject.
At this moment, because we couldn't leave, you know, some flyers about this human rights website we have, freedomforsale.org. I leave some of them here. If you want to pick them up, you know, next from the Runama book, you can take a look. Pick some of them, and you find more information, more deeper information about the situation of Turkmenistan and about these companies as well.
Okay, questions from the audience? Okay, there's a woman back there.
How did you get your hands on the ceremonial footage?
Okay, the question was, how did you get your hands on the ceremonial footage?
You mean ceremonial footage of the what exactly footage you mean? We had four different groups which was able to go there for to shoot the film. It was very complicating. It's very complicating to get the material out from there. And I was myself in two of these groups, and twice there was a group without me. Plus, there was two diplomats who was working for us secretly, and this footage was from this Finnish diplomat, Marko Visapää, who suddenly died like 2 weeks before Niaso with a heart attack as well. And that's why, I mean, he made amazing great work for the film, and he was able to shoot inside of the ceremony with his diplomat status. Of course, he was smuggling his camera in there, and we bought this camera for him for this kind of purposes.
Other question first this woman here, and then this gentleman afterwards. Yeah.
distribute it anywhere. And it's actually an interesting and complicated question. Some of the companies have actually published the book and have created editions of the book, but we haven't been able to find any evidence of real, genuine distribution to bookstores or outlets. It appears to be the case more often that the companies do the translations and then simply hide the translations from the rest of the world. They're not interested in having the books distributed and put out there. It's not a question, you know, they say that they're doing it for cultural understanding. They're not putting the books into the kind of system where those books could be reviewed by independent reviewers or discussed about in independent magazine articles. They just translate the books and hold on to them, as far as we can tell. And then there's quite a bit of lying about even when the translations are done, but that's a more complicated issue. We could answer it in detail later, but maybe for this discussion that's too complicated. And then the second question, which I think Arto is probably better equipped to answer, is the companies that go work in Turkmenistan, do they only use outside workers? If, for instance, a company like Boyd from France, does it only use French workers, or does it also use local workers?
They use also local workers, yes, but they, for instance, there are a lot of these Turkish companies, but they also bring these workers from abroad. So, of course, that's why it doesn't help the unemployment situation so much.
The other question is true that she asked is, are foreign workers exposed to the book when they come to the country? We don't see any evidence of that. We interviewed a number of people who had worked there, and we didn't see any evidence that they're exposed to the book. The book's primary purpose seems to be as a propaganda tool, not as a book that is actually designed to be read by people. It's a very difficult book to read. It's not a very interesting book to read.
But of course, I mean, read by the local people, they need to learn it by heart, you know. For them, it's really meant for that, and that purpose as well. In this point, you know, if we can tell something what has happened in Finland, we had a kind of cinema distribution. We started in the end of February, and we just found out, like 10 days before the distribution, that our biggest company in Finland, Nokia, I think so everybody knows, this mobile phone company, united like last year or a year ago with the Siemens with this mobile phone networks, and we warned Nokia 1 year ago, and we explained what Siemens has done in Turkmenistan, because they have supported this Ronomo thing, but they also has been designed the whole surveillance system for the Turkmen government, that they can listen, you know, to all the people in many different ways, and also get these, you know, opposition people to the jail. And after all of these warnings, whatever, and all of our efforts, you know, finally Nokia Siemens started to work there, and they started to design this new mobile phone network there, and they announced this in Turkmenistan like in February. And we brought this in the public because it's clearly part of the surveillance system, and it brought very huge discussion in Finnish press. Not only the press, you know, there was some interesting effects, you know, after this discussion which was going on and is still going on there. For instance, Finnish foreign minister has been creating kind of committee to researching the international companies, you know, responsibility, Finnish international companies' responsibility when they are working in foreign countries. And one of the members of this committee is the head of a very important professor of international law, and
this is from the website of a Canadian energy, gas, oil, and energy company called Buried Hill, B-U-R-I-E-D, Hill Energy. On September 24th, 2007, the president of Turkmenistan, Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov, received ex-Prime Minister of Canada, John Chrétien, within the framework of a visit to New York. Greeting Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov, Mr. John Chrétien noted that he was glad to meet the Turkmen leader in the American land that nowadays showed keen interest in Turkmenistan and its leader, whose policy had won the country's international recognition and worldwide prestige. The interlocutors discussed the progress of the previous agreements and demonstrated the reciprocal interest in continuing the dialogue on establishment of partnership between Turkmenistan and the Omani Canadian company, Buried Hill Energy, whose interests the ex-Prime Minister of Canada had presented in Ashgabat at the beginning of the year. Part of what's interesting about it is that originally the deal between Buried Hill and Turkmenistan had been an earlier deal in 2004 made with the Turkmenbashi, made with Niyazov, and Chrétien had been involved with that deal as well. So it is very similar to what we saw in the film. The companies are now simply continuing with Berdimuhamedov the same kinds of activities that they were doing with Niyazov. Let me just read. There's a little more from the website. Again, this is also from the company's own website. Roger Haynes, chairman and chief executive officer of Buried Hill Energy, accompanied the Right Honorable Jean Chrétien, former Prime Minister of Canada, and His Excellency Sheikha Salim Mustakhil Ahmed Al-Mashani from the Sultanate of Oman, met His Excellency Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov, President of Turkmenistan, in Ashgabat on the morning of 12th February 2008. The delegation congratulated His Excellency the President on the forthcoming National Flag Day holiday. The delegation also congratulated the President on the first anniversary of his presidency, wishing him extended good health and happiness and the continued success of his administration. Thanking for the congratulations, Berdimuhamedov noted that Turkmenistan was always open for a sincere, constructive dialogue, first of all with its reliable partners, including the Buried Hill Energy Company. So obviously, I mean, we're doing this in all of the countries that we go to that have a connection with the Turkmenbashi. We would just be very interested if anybody knows anything about Buried Hill, anybody knows anything about these activities here in Canada and its connection with Turkmenistan. We would be very interested to hear more, and we would obviously encourage people to look into it and find out more about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to say that. I mean, these things are not the black and white things, you know. I mean, the business is not black and white. I mean, doing business in this kind of countries can also bring the very good things. We know that, but also we know this fact. We have seen the film. And the reality also that to make the deals with this dictator of Turkmenbashi and the Berdimuhamedov, who has kept, you know, this way exactly the same, you know, what's the story of this Buried Hill? You know, did they work with the Ruhnama? How much they needed to bribe, you know, Turkmenbashi, for instance, when Shell made a deal with Turkmenbashi, Turkmenbashi asked $500 million for the bribe. So I mean, these are questions in this country, you know, asking me. And what's the role of his prime minister, ex-prime minister, with this company? Why he's working for them? Traveling back and forth and ask about questions.
There are more questions, but we're actually out of time. But Arto and Kevin are going to stay afterwards, and we'll answer your questions one-on-one. So take that opportunity. And I just want to thank you both very much for sharing your insights and your experience.